The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. I had ice in my throat.
Yeah, I know.
On iTunes and Stitcher, we're your hosts. I'm Duvall. That's Dave Draper.
Huzzah.
Huzzah indeed, David.
You deliberately put me in a bad mood before you started the podcast.
I know.
Taunt me.
I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry that Spielberg...
We'll get there.
I stole your idea.
Stole my idea.
On the movie news front this week, for fans of the classic Gremlins movie...
Yeah, I like Gremlins.
It will be out on 4K Blu-ray this October, just in time for Halloween. So you'll be able to watch it in all its beyond digital glory. Because the stuff I've seen in 4K is unreal. Like, 2001 A Space Odyssey in 4K is nuts. Like, because that movie is so colorful at certain points.
Well, yeah, it goes crazy at the end.
Well, there's the scene where he's in that red room, yeah. And he's pulling the memory chips out of Hal.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, normally it's all muddled. Like, you can't really see it that clear. And in the 4K version, it's just brilliant.
Poor Hal died hard.
Yes, he did.
That wasn't even his fault.
Was
he got conflicted in 2010. In 2010, yes. It is revealed that he got conflicting orders, and that is what made him behave erratically. And then he got blown up when Jupiter went Nova.
Yeah, poor Hal.
Yes, he was a victim, sir.
He was a victim. And man,
Hal done nothing wrong.
No, that's true.
Except murder like four people, but...
Yeah, well, you know. But yeah, so you'll be able to see Gremlins in 4K with...
Gremlins.
That's previously released special features on it, including filmmaker's commentary, cast commentary, Gremlins behind-the-scenes featurette, additional scenes with commentary, photo gallery, theatrical trailers, more additional scenes, it says, cute, clever, mischievous, intelligent, making Gremlins... Gremlins, The Gift of the Mogwai, a motion comic, the last Gremlin motion comic, from Gizmo to Gremlins, creating the creatures, hanging with Hoyt on the set of Gremlins. So, that'll be fun. And then I know next week the Ghostbusters 4K steelbook comes out, and it's got all, that thing's got all kinds of new features in it, man. Hmm. Like, the first Ghostbusters, they found the complete lost footage of the, Camp Bragg scene. I think it was Camp Bragg. Wherever the scene where...
This is the scene from the dream.
Yes. That was actually supposed to be a sequence of the movie where him and Egon and Ray go to this fort because it's haunted. They end up having to spend the night, and that's when Ray... So...
When Ray pushes the limits of the 80s PG.
Really. Yes, exactly.
Because 80s kids are tougher. I don't know why, but I always thought that... Wasn't at like a four. I thought that took place in his parents' house. But, yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just like, I always... Because, you know, he has that line early on about the house.
Right.
I thought there was like a subplot about how, like, that was where he saw his first ghost.
Yeah.
I don't know. But in the movie, he is dressed in like a little military kind of outfit, sort of. It's a deleted scene, so how would I know anything about it? It was
true.
Deleted.
Warner Brothers announced that they weren't going to be at Hall H this year, which is crazy to think that Warner Brothers isn't going to be there. We know Disney and Marvel, and they're not going to be there, and now Warner Brothers isn't going to be in Hall H. It's like, well, shit, who's left at this point? Like, Paramount and Fox, but Fox is owned by Disney, and I don't think they got anything on the horizon, so...
I don't think so.
But, because of that...
The Mutants. Well, I'm sure the New Mutants panel will be the talk of San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, something. Since we're not getting Wonder Woman until next year, well, Wonder Woman 1984, Patty Jenkins was sad to hear that WB wasn't going to be in Hall H, but instead they went ahead and released the teaser poster for 1984, which is...
Very obnoxious.
Yeah, it is very obnoxious.
Glorious 80 obnoxious.
Yes, very much so. June 5th, 2020.
Well, see, again, that to me, that's a sign of confidence. You put that in the June slot, that's saying, I believe this movie is going to do well.
Right.
It can hold its own. Well, again, it can hold its own against the big boys.
True.
You move that movie to January, and you're saying, dog poop.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to wait till June, and Patty says that they won't start their marketing push for Wonder Woman until December, but the poster's a nice little preview.
It's, yeah, it's crazy. Like, okay. I didn't realize we weren't going to talk about it at all.
Yeah, we can still talk about it. It's just,
well, like the armor, I believe the armor is supposed to be like her golden eagle armor from Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
Is I what I
what is your
is my understanding of the situation.
That sounds decent.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't like the poster. I saw it and was like, nah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's I like that it's kind of doesn't even seem like legitimately 80s. It just seems like it's kind of faux 80s, but it's kind of gloriously annoying. I don't know how to put it.
The only Warner Brothers studio movie that's going to be at Comic-Con with a panel, with any major panel presence, is going to be It Chapter 2. Mm. And they'll be there to
promote the movie,
The movie with new footage and other surprises. Probably a walkthrough scare fest kind of thing.
Okay.
So they did that kind of, I think Hollywood Horror Nights kind of a walkthrough maze with scares and stuff in it for it. So
yeah, they kind of did that with the first one. I vaguely remember us talking about that.
Yeah, so.
You know, honestly, I'm not going to be. If Comic-Con finally starts to settle the F down.
Yeah.
And like all these cons start to settle down and become a little less like ridiculously crowded, I ain't going to shed a lot of tears.
True. Bill and Ted 3 has added Bridget Lundy Payne and Samara Weaving playing Bill and Ted's daughters.
Has it started filming?
Not yet. They are getting ready to. I mean, as they get, they're doing more casting. So. And so we know. If we stop. We know that Death will be back in this one.
Yeah, Bill Sadler.
Bill Sadler has announced that he's coming.
Who
back.
Who played the President of the United States in Iron Man 3?
That's right. Now he's back to his roots as Death. The Grim Reaper.
That second movie is an underrated gem.
Well, I think it's become a huge
cult. I'm sure it's like a cult.
Now.
Yeah. It seems like it's an underground thing, but like that movie was so good.
Oh yeah.
So they're the children of the historical babes, I assume.
Yes. Yes. Turns out that Punky Brewster's getting a reboot with original star Soleil Moon Frye coming back to play the role.
And the old dude's dead, I think.
Oh yeah.
The dog's probably dead too.
Yeah. And apparently the report says Punky will come back as a single mother.
Of course. Yeah. Just hope that Soleil Moon Frye hasn't like gotten her kids into college through hinky methods, because that's what killed the Fuller House.
The original multi-camera...
I actually practiced that joke before we started recording.
I know you did.
Well, I was kind of
I'm dying over here. The new reboot...
Ice is not air. Stop breathing it.
The new reboot will Chev. We'll have Punky.
Will Chev?
I know, Jesus.
Will Chev Punky right in your faces.
Wow.
It's like a 90s reboot. It's extreme. It's extreme Punky.
Dave's house tried to kill me, apparently. Punky's now a single mother of three trying to get her life back on track when she meets a young girl who reminds her a lot of her younger
Busy
self.
Girl.
Yes. So we'll see. I think it's got a pilot order. We'll see what happens if they pick the pilot.
Now, is that a Netflix or is that an Amazon?
No,
or is
it,
that,
they
it's,
don't
it's not
say
a nothing?
Yet. They don't say yet. They're just saying it. It's got a pilot order. The Muppet Movie, the original Muppet Movie, is returning to theaters for its 40th anniversary. You'll be able to see it via Fathom Events on big screens across the country. Yep.
Aww.
Across the country on July 25th, which is Thursday, July 25th, or Tuesday, July 30th. We'll play at 12:30 and 7 p.m. local time each of those days. We'll be on more than 700 screens, and it is coming to our town. It will be in Springfield.
You want
to
see it?
I do want
to
see it.
I would love to go. I was telling you, again, before we started filming, like, I thought it was going to be an actual, legit, remastered re-release, and I was like, this is what Disney should be doing with all its movies, not making new versions of them. And then you started defending Aladdin, and it made money.
It did make money.
I didn't mean anybody liked it.
I've never seen that one on the big screen.
Sometimes being old is better.
I've seen all the Muppet movies from Take Manhattan up on the big screen.
Ironically, like I saw the Muppet movie, A Great Muppet Caper, in the theaters, and I'm not sure if I've ever actually seen a complete
Muppets Take Manhattan.
I know I've never seen Muppets Take Manhattan at all.
Really?
And I don't know if I've ever seen any of the other ones all the way through. I think I saw chunks of Treasure Island.
Yeah, Muppet Treasure Island was all right.
It's cute.
Muppet Christmas Carol was adorable.
I never saw that one.
Well, I
can't say that because I saw the two new ones.
Yes.
I did see the two new ones in the theater.
The Muppet movie they did with where they focused on Gonzo a lot. I can't think of the name of that one
Muppets
now.
From Space.
Yes, that one's brilliant.
It seemed like it was cool.
Yeah, that one's fun. For fans of Dune, it sounds like Denis Villeneuve's Dune film will be honoring everything about the novel.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, I was waiting for Dave's input on that, because I'm pretty sure you've read the novel.
I have read the novel.
Yep. Do you think like, any film can live up to that novel?
Well, it's one of those things like Lord of the Rings. Like, yeah, I think you could condense it. I mean, the David Lynch one kind of went off on its own little weird
tangent
things, but it was pretty close to being... I mean, look, if you're a super fan... I was not a super fan of the novel.
Right.
So, I mean, I liked it well enough. It was... I read it when I was a little younger than I probably should have been to read it.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know that I appreciated it as much as I would now. But what I'm saying is you could cut a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And just get to the point. But yeah, I think being truer to the novel is, you know, it's fine. I got mixed feelings. I'm one of those guys, I always want it to be kind of true to the you know, it's like, the novel was good enough to make you want to, like, option it and, like, make it as a film. But at the same time, you know, I kind of always go back to those first two Harry Potter films that were a little too true to the novels.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the Potter films really started kicking off on the third one when Caron sort of put his own touch on it. And I think that, you know, if you want to read the novel's there.
Right, exactly.
And the movie's kind of its own interpretation of the novel. And it should be a little freer. Maybe not as free as Lynch took it. But, you know, then, you know.
I always wondered how close Battlefield Earth was to its original novel.
I love myself too much to have read the book. I saw the movie as a joke. I mean, you know, because I knew by I saw it on video. I didn't go.
Right.
I did not go see it.
No.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's actually probably pretty faithful, because Travolta was a big fan of Hubbard.
Well, he follows his teachings closely, so.
Okay. And you know, we won't say anything more about that because you know, I can't afford a lawyer.
Fair enough. Those Scientologists, they're coming for you.
Those are the opinions of Jason Duvall, and not necessarily the opinions of everyone else at Toy World Order.
Damn Scientologists.
Oh, wow, okay. Those are definitely the opinions of Jason Duvall.
It's terrible. Terrible.
Okay. I have no idea if they're still as litigious or if they've kind of...
Yeah, screw them.
Kind of bled enough people that...
Bastards. So apparently the...
Speaking of bastards...
The Batman casting was up between two people. Nicholas Holt, who just recently starred in the Tolkien biography film.
Okay.
And Robert Pattinson. Of course, Pattinson being famous for his role in Twilight.
And the dead kid from Harry Potter.
And the dead kid from Harry Potter, but mostly from Twilight.
Sure.
Warner Brothers announced that while Holt is said to have impressed Matt Reeves, the filmmaker seemed especially interested in Pattinson. And is also said to have written the part with Pattinson in mind. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new Batman in the form of Robert Pattinson, which immediately pissed off the entire internet.
Not the entire internet.
Pretty close to.
But what'll they do next? Hire some guy who played a gay cowboy as the Joker? It'll be the worst Batman movie ever.
The internet's a terrible place, people.
People are stupid and reactionary.
But they did say that this will not be an origin story. They're not going to do another origin story, but it will be early on in his career.
Like kind of like what they did with Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Which I like, because, I mean, everybody knows his parents got killed in Crime Alley.
Yes.
Also, they keep jumping back and forth, but I think they seem to kind of come back to the fact that the Penguin's going to be the villain, which I would like. I feel the Penguin is a villain that doesn't get enough love.
I'd be all right with that.
I mean, he got a lot. The only thing I really liked about Gotham was that the Penguin got a lot of love.
Yeah, well, he was like one of the main characters.
He was one of the main characters, and he just never gets the respect he deserves.
I agree.
So, like, I think they said Penguin and Catwoman. I'm like, if you know, I would be.
I remember watching John Wick when we were both like, hey, Penguin.
Oh, yeah. He does have an interesting cameo.
Yeah, tiny little cameo. Netflix announced they're going to be releasing a Jurassic World animated series, which this upsets Dave to no end, called Camp Cretaceous. Couldn't say it.
Like, I swear to God, I mean, people are going to think I'm joking. I'm kidding around. I'm doing a bit. I swear to God, my gloss on my own version of Jurassic Park was called Camp Cretaceous. That was my name. Like, because number one, it's alliterative, and therefore better.
Right.
And number two, the Cretaceous period is when all the cool dinosaurs lived.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, and I'm joking about this because I don't have money for a lawyer, but yeah. I swear to God, if this show is basically ER with dinosaurs, I will sue.
Didn't look like it.
That was my idea. My idea was to do, it was like ER, but instead of medical emergencies, it's dinosaur related. You know, it's like theme park. You know, it's like the people who work behind the scenes at a functional Jurassic Park.
Right. It looks like that Camp Cretaceous, I can't say that, follows a group of six teenagers chosen for a once-in-a-lifetime experience at a new adventure camp on the opposite side of Isla Nublar.
How big is that island?
But when dinosaurs wreak havoc across the island, the campers are stranded. Unable to reach the outside world, they'll need to go from strangers to friends to family if they're going to survive.
It's not a terrible premise, but it's pretty generic.
Yeah, it's pretty generic. It really is. But it looks like we'll see that probably sometime next year as Jurassic World 3 will open up in June of 2021.
Really? Oh, 2021.
Sounds like Quentin Tarantino and Jared Carmichael have an idea in mind to bring to the big screen a Django Unchained Zorro crossover, which no one's really asked for, but it sounds interesting.
You're the one who's like, I'm excited about this.
It sounds kind of cool. I like Django.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
I love Django as a character. I think it's a great character. I think it's one of Quentin's strongest characters he's ever created.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. Yeah. And like the idea of teaming him up with Zorro would be cool.
Yeah, it would be very cool. So, Jared Carmichael is definitely working on it. Whether or not
I don't know who that
Tarantino,
is.
Jared Carmichael is... he's a comedian and he's an actor, but he's also here. I'll show you a picture.
Okay,
Jared, there he is.
And I don't know who these people are.
Jared Carmichael.
Who are these people? Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was. He had a semi-biographical NBC sitcom called The Carmichael Show for a few seasons.
Okay.
And then they sadly canceled it. But yeah. So looks like we might get a Django Zorro crossover.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd watch it.
Be interesting. The film will actually adopt the comic series written by Matt Wagner.
See, based on the picture that we were looking at on the screen, I thought there was a comic book series.
Served as the official sequel to Tarantino's 2012 film Django Unchained. And the comic synopsis reads, the official Django Unchained sequel, uniting the gun-blazing Western hero... With the Western hero...
That's for you, Josh Flood.
Gun-blazing Western hero with the legendary swordsman of literature, film, and comics, Zorro, set several years after the events of Django Unchained, Django again pursues evil men in his role as a bounty hunter. Taken to the roads of the American Southwest, he encounters the aged and sophisticated Diego de la Vega by sheer chance. Django is fascinated by this unusual character, the first wealthy white man he's met, who seems totally unconcerned with the color of his skin, and who can hold his own in a fight.
Zorro was white? I thought Zorro was Mexican.
I don't know. That's a good question. Django hires on as Diego's bodyguard, but as soon as drawn to a fight to free the local indigenous people from brutal servitude, learning much from the older man as he did from King Schultz, he discovers that slavery isn't exclusive to his people, as he even dons the mask of Zorro in their mission of mercy. So, sounds very interesting. Apparently Ron Howard is claiming Star Wars, Solo: A Star Wars Story... failed at the box office because of internet trolls.
Ron, why? Why, Ron? Why are you doing this now?
The director said, I feel very good about the way it turned out. I love the way it played to audiences, which I witnessed and was a part of. So all that I'm able to feel good about. Sure, I wish it would have done better and lived up to the box office and so forth, so that's disappointing. Why? Maybe it's the release. Maybe it's the idea that it's sort of too nostalgic. Going back and revisiting an origin story for a beloved character may not be what the fans were looking for. It kind of seems to me, looking at it, the opening, which was big, not as big as the others. It was probably my biggest opening personally. It was still disappointing to them. I think those are the hardcore fans. It sort of tells you how many people are tag-alongs who need to wait and see what people think whether it's essential, if it's a zeitgeist movie or not, and whether... It's just, I love Star Wars, and
please,
I want to see
what's
next.
Please stop, please.
He's,
okay, let's...
Hold on, I'm not done.
No, he's done.
He goes on to say, Whatever millions Solo made worldwide, those were from the core fans, but it didn't hit
no,
that.
No, they weren't.
It didn't hit that zeitgeist point for whatever reason. Timing, Young Solo, pushback from the previous movie, which I kept hearing was maybe something, and some trolling, definitely some trolling,
maybe
some actual
something.
Aggressive. It was pretty interesting. Not so much, a little bit the Twitter feed, yes, but it was especially noticeable prior to the release of the movie. Several of the algorithms, whether it was
Brevity is the soul of wit, Mr. Howard.
Whether it was Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes.
Jesus, there did was you do this on Twitter?
No, it was some podcast. Hmm. There was an inordinate. Yes, thank you. I can say it. Push down on the want to see and on the fan voting. And when you look at it, it's like 3, 4, 5, whatever the rating is. I forget what the rating is on Rotten Tomatoes. Whether it's a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, it's pretty high. And then a series of zeros or 0.5s or 1s.
Is he done yet?
Oh, he's done.
Can I address
Yes, you can address it. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, full disclosure, I liked Solo a lot.
I did too.
I enjoyed it. But there was a lot of headwind for that movie.
Yes.
Number one, the production troubles.
Yes.
Like, that always, like, I don't know why production troubles usually hurt a movie. You know, you would think people would be more interested to see it, because there's a lot of, but there were a lot of production troubles. You recast an iconic role, which is always a dice roll.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the guy who played Solo. You know, I think once you got in the movie, he was playing that character.
Right.
But that character, I don't know that that character was Han Solo. You know what I mean? It was. It didn't feel like Han Solo. It felt like some other guy who was kind of a likable rogue.
True.
Like, he could be Han's little brother.
Yeah, it didn't feel like Han.
But it didn't feel like Han. It felt like a guy who was like Han, but not Han. It was a prequel.
Yep.
It was a prequel that sort of, like, really overdid the talking point. It's Han's origin. He gets his gun. He meets Chewie. He does the Kessel Run. Yeah. He meets Lando. I apologize to our youngest fan, Ozzie Metzger. He fucked up the Kessel Run by making it about space fuel instead of about space drugs.
Yep.
Like, there's at no point in the history of Star Wars leading up to that movie was the Kessel Run about anything other than, quote, spice, quote. Like, and suddenly it's about magic space fuel. And I don't have a problem with the idea of space fuel, like, personally. But, like, just that, it's like, you know, Kessel, it's where we make our drugs. Also space fuel.
Yeah.
Like, come on. And he acknowledges, and I think the timing was bad. Like,
yes.
Which is frustrating because, of course, I love the fact that it was a Star Wars movie in May because I'm a fanboy.
Right.
And Star Wars came out May 25th, 1977. So, right. But it was too soon after Last Jedi. I think it was too soon after Last Jedi. It was the, what, fifth film? Fourth film that
they've
done? Like, I think there was a lot of burnout just from the normies.
Yep.
And then the fanboys, there was a large, serious contingent that was super butthurt about Last Jedi and deliberately did not go see that film on purpose. So when you say that, oh, the fans were the ones that support us, some of them were.
Yeah, not
and
all of them.
Some of them, like, I think it was split with some fans supported you. Some fans deliberately sat on their hands because they were angry about Last Jedi.
Yep.
So I just think you had a lot of headwind. I enjoyed the movie. I liked it. It's not going to be one of my favorite Star Wars movies. It's probably always going to be middle of the pack, but I don't think it was a disaster. I don't think it was terrible. I think it could have been, you know, I no knock on Ron Howard as director. I think he's a fine director. And I know that there were problems, but I really would have been much more interested to see Lord Miller's
Vision. Yeah, I agree.
And I think there's a couple of scenes in that movie when he's doing the weird thing with the rock and he's pretending it's a thermal detonator, and the scene with him and Chewie in the shower.
Right.
And I think the scene with him in the pit where he's talking in Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
Or Shywook, I believe is what it's called.
Right.
Thur. I think those are Lord Miller scenes because they have that kind of crazy offbeat feel.
I agree.
But like, oh, and then there was the other thing, like, there was the whole weird thing about Lando being in love with his robot. I know that turned a lot. In the film, it doesn't really feel that.
No, but it was
like
there.
That big a deal. But like I think that also got some of, especially the Last Jedi butthurt boys, like, cited that as another reason to hate on the movie.
True.
So it had a lot of headwinds, Ron. I'm sorry it didn't do well. I'm legitimately sorry it didn't do well. I thought it was a good film. I enjoyed it. But to sit here and go, well, you know, blah, 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 you had a lot of You had a lot of darts headed at you on that one.
Yeah, you had a lot going against you on that
just
one.
Just take the L, yeah. Ron.
You've had a few L's in your life, Ron. Take that one.
Well, okay, that's kind of spiteful, but...
That's true.
Wow.
Sorry.
Dude made Splash. I think he should be an icon in your household.
All right.
What?
I'm not a big Ron Howard fan.
What? Willow?
Willow's a terrible, terrible movie.
Wow.
Like, it's got some strong parts.
What other beloved 80s class can I get you to badmouth?
Dude, Willow's bad, man.
I've seen it, like, once, ever. Like, so I really have no opinion. I'm sure there are dedicated...
I'm sure there's people that are fans of Willow.
I know, and I really want to find something else that they love that you're going to talk about.
Like, I had hoped when they did those...
The opinions of Jason... Oh, okay. Everybody hated the novels.
I got excited when they did those novels, and then it's
how
like...
Did you get excited? If you hated the film, why were you excited about
the novel? Because I was hoping they'd write the story that they should have done in the first one.
Oh, Mr. Expert on Willow. Wow.
It was a beautiful movie to look at. It just was a terrible...
Wow. Jason Duvall hates Scientology and Willow.
Yeah, well.
And Splash.
Yeah, I don't hate Splash. Splash is fun. Okay. The Russos...
Why do you hate John Candy?
I love John Candy.
Why are you prejudiced? Hey, as a fat person, why are you prejudiced against fat people?
I love John Candy.
Do you hate her?
John Candy's awesome. He was gone too soon.
Well, okay. On that, we agree.
The Russo brothers and Netflix are coming together to make an animated Magic the Gathering series. So for those of you that still play that game, which surprisingly is a shite ton of people.
Yeah, no, that game still is a juggernaut.
Which is nuts. That game came out in 95? 94, yeah.
And maybe even 93, because it came out like right after I graduated.
Yeah, and it's still going strong today, which is insane.
Hey, D&D is stronger than ever.
True.
It's actually hip. Like, I don't like... It's just weird. I live in the world I dreamt about when I was a child. That's strange.
But part of you is like, I don't want to live in this world anymore.
I kind of don't.
Yeah. Can we go back into the shadows?
Can we just calm down a little bit?
That'd be great. Apparently, the news is starting to leak that via Kevin Smith's Fat Man Beyond podcast, first class writer Zach Stentz, let's say his name right.
You're on your own,
revealed that when they were writing First Class, they were also, he and his co-writer were working on a secret movie at Fox that would have featured characters from the X-Men, Fantastic Four, Deadpool. And even Daredevil, which at the time Fox still owned. Stentz said, my ex-partner and I, we were working at Fox, and we were working on X-Men First Class. We did a secret movie for them. I can't tell you what the plot was, but I can tell you that it used all the characters, all the Marvel characters that Fox had at the time in 2011. It used the X-Men, it used Fantastic Four, it used Daredevil, it used Deadpool. Daredevil was still at Fox at the time. We almost had Paul Greengrass directing it, which would have been so cool, but he had another project to do, and it didn't end up going. But it was a script, and he says he was really proud of it, and it would have been really good. Well, that's debatable, because...
Good boy.
None of Fox's stuff has really been spectacular. Some of the Deadpool stuff.
Okay.
And X-Men First Class.
Well, I was going to say Future Past.
Yeah, Days of Future Past was good.
Yes, it was.
Beyond that, they kind of dropped the ball on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Apocalypse was garbage.
Yes, it was.
Aside from the Quicksilver scene.
Yes, aside from that, which was brilliant.
Which is always a good part of the movie.
Hot Toys showed off their Spider-Man Far From Home 1/6 scale Spider-Man.
Okay.
Which, again, surprise. It's like, well, we're getting another Spider-Man.
It's weird. It's like, I thought the whole thing was the costume was black this time around. Like red and black.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Because there was a new teaser, a new little TV spot that was released that kind of shows him making that costume.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what's going on with this, but they are... this is their movie promo edition, so is what they're calling this one, so... But it is one of the new Spider-Man suits because he's kind of got like the belt loops on the sides.
Okay.
And he does have the wings.
The other costume had the wings.
Yeah, I did. But this, like, you can tell it's like the newer design because it's got the black armbands and.
I think the other dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember anymore. All the costumes.
Like suddenly, you're Mr. Expert, and then
all the costumes start melting together, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Hasbro and Wicked Cool Toys are teaming up to bring back Micro Machines. Which, cool, I guess. Not hating on Micro Machines, but really?
Oh, really? You're going to throw Micro Machines in the same pile as Willow
and John
Candy?
Further details about the new Micro Machines line are expected to be released later this year. We don't know if it will be if they'll be licensed micro machines or what they're going to do with them. If they're just going to be the generic old micro machine, so we'll see. But of course, they did a bunch of licensed sets in the 90s.
They did
Star Trek, Star Wars,
they
Predator.
Did, they did Star Trek. They did yeah. Star Wars. Yeah, they had the Star Wars box sets. So.
Aliens.
Yeah, those are expensive.
Yeah. So they did some cool stuff, but Micro Machines is coming back. Since Hasbro owns Galoob and have for some time.
Yeah. Well, there was a while there. Hasbro was buying up everything that had Star Wars license.
Yeah, pretty
Tiger
much.
Toys, Galoob.
Yeah, they bought
the only one they didn't get was Lego.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Well, not crazy.
Well, not crazy, but... NECA showed off their packaging for the third Godzilla King of the Monsters action figure to be released, which is Rodan. He'll be 13. He'll measure 13 inches in wingspan. It comes on a window box with an opening flap.
A window box. A window. Now
and he comes
now
on
getting
a,
racist.
Comes on a display stand too that he can. Okay. Kind of looks like he's blasting out of his containment unit. Kind of a neat little display. But that looks to be hitting here soon.
Okay.
It says shipping out to retailers in the coming weeks. So. For those of you collecting Godzilla stuff, keep your eyes open.
It's all too small.
The NECA San Diego Comic-Con pre-sale was today, was as we were recording this podcast on Wednesday the 5th, was this morning. And pretty much, I believe, everything sold out pretty quick. But one of the things they showed off before the sale was the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Batman vs. Predator 2-pack, which was kind of a neat 2-pack with a Predator figure with two different heads and then a Batman... figure who comes with a bat.
Like yeah, he's also an armor.
Yeah, he's also an armor, but he's got a bat that he can hit the Predator with because he's got Predator blood on it.
Yeah,
it's a neat looking figure. The Batman's cool.
Yeah, I mean I remember that I have that series.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who wrote that
book. I know the art. I don't know if it was Mike Mignola who did the art. I may be pronouncing the name wrong, but it was very much in his style.
Hellboy style.
Very Hellboy style. He might have actually done the art. I don't remember.
For those of you that missed the sale, you can probably still pre-order them on Big Bad Toy Store for a little bit more than the $60 that they're selling for.
A little bit.
And if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, you can get a line and buy them there. There's always that.
I'd rather pay a little bit more.
Eagle Moss, which is the company...
They do like weird...
Yeah, they...
Miniatures. They do a lot of Star Trek stuff.
They did build the DeLorean time machine from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Now they're continuing that... with a build the Ectomobile from Ghostbusters.
Okay.
You'll be able to build Ecto-1 in the comfort of your own home or firehouse. The unique subscription program regularly delivers plans, parts, and behind-the-scenes insights, with which is easily assemble a perfect 1/8 scale die-cast replica of one of the most instantly recognizable vehicles in motion picture history, the Ecto-1. And it features rotating lights, Ghostbusters roof rack, opening doors, tires and hubcaps, working headlights, and an opening hood. So it actually has all like working LEDs and stuff in them. It's kind of neat, really, to think that they are doing that. Subscriptions are slated to begin in the fall. Though the model on the car on which they will be based on its base will be showcased. God, I can't talk tonight. Showcased at the first ever Ghostbusters Fan Fest, which is this weekend, which is Friday and Saturday. At the world famous Sony Picture Studio lot in Culver City, California. And any attendees who sign up to the online newsletter and or have their picture taken with the model and post on social media will receive exclusive gifts at the event.
Which you can put in your window.
Yeah. So it's kinda neat looking. I mean it's pretty damn detailed from the rolling racks. The interiors, I mean, they're really nice. I tried to get a Back to the Future one for the website that we could put together on camera and kind of show the steps of it, but it fell through. The guys at Eagle Moss were not easy to deal with, sadly.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. But it's cool. It's a highly detailed die-cast model, and it's you put it all together by hand. Not like a glue-together model either. It like all snaps together and yeah. So there's some great behind-the-scenes footage or pictures and stuff, and give you an idea how there's some interesting pages in these previews that show you how to put some of it together. So it's good. It's pretty cool. You can check out herocollector.com/ghostLA to register your interest and be eligible for the risk-free introductory offer. because I think the Back to the Future one was like they shipped like every week or every other week, and I think it was like $15 a week or something like that until it was done. So it eventually ended up being pretty damn pricey. Lego showed off a new set. They're celebrating the Apollo 50th anniversary with a brand new Lego creator set of the NASA Apollo 11 lunar lander. God, I cannot talk today. Jesus.
You know, landing, probably you could have gotten away with landing.
Probably.
But then you had to just call attention to it.
I know. But it comes with two little, I don't know if those are full-size minifigures yet. Two astronaut minifigures with NASA decoration
gold helmets. Full-sized minifigures.
Well, you know what I mean, because they have the little micro figures too. I know. But yeah,
they come with some. I think they are full-sized minifigures.
Plus, they're also
offering. Because he's got that full-size minifigure wrench.
Yeah, it's true. They're also offering the satellite service mission, which, of course, the lunar model is the one
base. Is quasi-accurate.
Yeah. While the other stuff's just new. Space. Like, the satellite service mission looks like they took the Avengers.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't take it. It's right. All Lego. But yeah, it looks like a Quinjet.
Yeah, it looks like a Quinjet. The rover
testing. Looks like a Rock Raider.
Yeah, the rover testing drive is offered. The Mars shuttle research looks like shuttle. A shuttle. Yeah, the shuttle kind of looks like a shuttle. And the Lunar Space Station. Yeah. It's kind of neat. A little modular space station you can build, as well as the deep space rocket and launch control. That's kind of neat. It's got a little roller coaster the guys can ride on.
Just like NASA.
I know. The rocket assembly and transport. Okay. And all of these are going to be available June 1st. Yeah, I know.
Now you're milking it.
People pack space research and development, so a bunch of minifigures and satellites and little buildable things. So there's cool stuff coming from Lego to celebrate space exploration.
Yeah.
50th anniversary. And then Mattel and San Diego Comic-Con are teaming up to release their thank God this podcast is almost over because I can't go on anymore.
We're not going to talk about Godzilla?
Oh, yeah, we are. That's right. The WWE's...
Twist the knife.
San Diego Comic-Con Mattel exclusive is a Macho Man Randy Savage, and he comes in a Slim Jim packaging as well as holding two tiny Slim Jims.
I personally think this is brilliant. And I'm not being facetious.
I agree.
I think it's great. I think this is what a Comic-Con exclusive should be.
Yes, I agree.
Is kind of a wacky, unique thing that you wouldn't normally see at retail.
Right.
And that someone who's even a fairly hardcore collector is going to be like, you know, I could live without this. It's silly.
Yeah, and I love the box. The box looks like a Slim Jim display box in a store. Like, yeah. You would rip open the top and the Slim Jims would be in there. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah. You open up, and the inner box is a little window that you can see.
A window. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So that's Mattel and WWE's exclusive for this year, which is kind of neat. So I'm sure we'll be hearing more Mattel exclusives in the coming weeks.
San Diego. It's June, man.
Yeah, I know.
I have no idea what any of the Hasbro lines are getting.
It's hard to say if they're getting any.
I'm sure they'll get something.
Well, probably.
We'll find a way to poop in my Cheerios.
Oh, we probably.
They always do. They always do.
They always do. And Avengers Endgame doesn't look like it's going to hit Star Wars Force Awakens in the number one domestic gross of all time.
That's weird.
I think the sales are kind of slagging off, and I don't think they're going to get
another bump.
Yeah, they're not going to get another bump.
No.
They're not going to get another $100 million to jump across Star Wars Force Awakens, sadly.
I have mixed feelings.
And worldwide, though, I think they're pretty close to Avatar. Yes, they're very close to Avatar. Avatar is at $2,788,000,000, and Endgame is at $2,716,000,000.
Come on, so you Canadian bastards!
Possible.
Go see a movie.
That they'll overtake Avatar.
Come on. Actually, I think technically Canada is counted for domestic.
Yes.
But I'm not. I don't think we're allowed to make fun of other countries anymore. So.
What?
I know.
This is bullshit.
It breaks my heart.
It does. It's sad. So yeah, that's.
T-Rex back to the Cretaceous.
Oh, I know. I was looking to see what the all-time IMAX openers were.
Apparently Space Station 3D.
Yeah. Oh, God. Beauty and the Beast 2002. I saw that in IMAX. The animated one.
Mm.
Yeah. Haunted Castle. God, they really like...
Raiders. I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, in IMAX?
In IMAX, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one where I had my kind of Matrix moment with that film.
Oh, really?
Because I'd seen it. Well, you know, I'd seen it so many times.
Right.
And, like, you know. And, you know every story beat. And I was, like, watching it. And I stopped seeing the movie. Like, you know, like stopped following the plot, I was watching Spielberg direct.
Oh yeah.
Like I was breaking down the scenes as he directed them and the pieces and
right.
Oh, and that was almost as much fun as the movie itself.
I bet.
Because that was him in his prime.
It was. It's still an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So Dave and I last weekend went to go see Godzilla King of the Monsters. For those of you who have not seen it yet and don't want to be spoiled, you can shut the podcast off now.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to find out whether or not Godzilla lives or dies or becomes King of the Monsters.
But it was a very interesting film. It was I think it was a much better film than the first Godzilla movie in 2014. Only because sure. I remember there was so many humans in that, and there was very yeah, was, very it, little monsters.
Well, until okay, towards that's the like end. The problem is that's a classic Godzilla movie.
Yeah, I know.
And I do think they did some things really well. The fight at the airport between Godzilla and the Muto, and the whole thing is at the human level.
Yes,
that was really cool.
That was cool.
Because because usually you're looking at them like where they're framed that they're the normal size.
Right.
So it gave you a real sense of scale that this movie never quite pulled off.
No, it never quite gave you that scale, but. Just the sheer amount of monster fights in this was
important. Yeah, I mean, there were fights, but it was always Godzilla and King Ghidorah.
Well, yeah, it was. He never fought Rodan.
Well, I mean, like at the end, Mothra and Rodan fought, but it was like, I really thought it was going to be a battle royale, and it was just basically him and Ghidorah, and then all the other monsters were just kind of like off, you know, oh, by the way, they're smashing Rio de Janeiro and San Francisco
yeah.
and Montreal. You know, the weird mastodon-looking thing and the giant yeah. crab moths. Like they're off doing their own thing. Godzilla has no interaction with them until right. the end.
It was very interesting. The human story in this was kind of...
Bleh.
Yeah, it was very lacking.
Yeah.
That was my only complaint, is that it was like, okay, so the father left and the brother got killed because that's what drove the father away. And then the mother and the daughter stayed together and... They apparently went batshit crazy with this plan to release all these monsters into the world, and ugh.
Because the monsters are radioactive, and everybody knows that radioactivity is good for the environment.
Yes,
which is kind of the weirdest message for a quasi environmental movie to right? ever release.
I know, right? What did you think, David?
It was okay. Like I didn't hate it. It did have more monsters.
Yes.
The central human story was poo.
I
Kyle
agree.
Chandler was... He didn't do a bad job as an actor per se, but his character was just crap.
Yeah, it was just terrible.
He was like... He was the angry dad who wanted all the monsters killed, but he was also the quasi-Mary Sue who had all the answers.
Yes, exactly.
And it was just weird and annoying. You know, like the Monarch stuff was weird... Because I've seen Kong Island, Skull Island,
right?
And it was like, in that one they're barely above like a couple of hucksters trying to like, you know, shake down the government for some money,
right?
And now suddenly they're SHIELD.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, and I realize there's been like 4 years between the two stories, but like, just it was weird.
Yeah, because John Goodman and Kong was like holding that company together by like.
Oh yeah, he was. You know, he had a bad suit, and you know, it's like he's begging the senator for money at the beginning of the film.
Yeah,
like.
And now they've got all of these like secret bunkers all over the world.
They've got these
and...
giant installations all over the world.
Yeah.
The stuff with Ghidorah was kind of like, it was one of those like real quick kind of, oh wait, he's an alien, so blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And you're just like, okay, let's just throw that out there kind of like randomly.
Because people who haven't seen the old Godzilla movies wouldn't have realized that Ghidorah was always an alien.
Yeah, he was Monster Zero from space.
Yeah. Which did Toei originate that, or did that originate in the States?
No, oh no.
It's just Monster Zero from Outer Space is what we called it when it got to the States, right?
I can't remember. That I don't know. I was watching a retrospective on Godzilla, but they didn't really do too much with like the ancillary guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I will say they had a lot of nods. They had the Oxygen Destroyer, which is the original way they kill Godzilla in the very first movie.
Right.
The guy, like the main story of the original Godzilla, not counting Steve Martin, is which was added for the U.S. release.
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin. Raymond Burr played a reporter named Steve
Martin.
Martin.
I'll be damned.
And they filmed those scenes for the American version, and they screwed up and they got it in black and white, which is why we always think Godzilla's in black and white, when in Japan it was in color.
Color, yeah.
But the real story was this scientist guy and I think his wife, and then she had a thing for this other guy, and in the end he sacrifices himself to set off the oxygen destroyer and kill Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they brought Raymond Burr back. They brought Raymond Burr back for Godzilla 1984, or Godzilla Returns in Japan. And like I didn't even realize this at the time, you know, because I was like 13 when it came out. But like in that movie, because by then Steve Martin was a thing,
right?
So they hardly ever call him by his full name.
He's
just Mr. Martin, yeah. Or you know, like
that's funny.
But anyway, they had the oxygen destroyer. They kind of teased the twins from Mothra.
Yes, because
Mothra always had this like weird bond with these two like doll sized,
yeah,
pixie teen,
yeah,
twins. So they kind of had like these two scientists.
They were Mothra's voice to the people or something like that, weren't they?
Yeah, kind of. But they were also like symbiotically worked with Mothra. And
yeah, it was weird. They teased that. I caught on to that, and I was like, oh, the twins.
Yeah.
I was like, because at one point they start going through like this one scientist's history, and she's showing all the pictures of like her family. You're like,
well, they had a scene where like they cut to Mothra in China, and there's a monarch camp, and for some reason Miles Dyson is there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like,
which and they never touch on again.
Yeah, they never mention him again.
Yeah,
but like he goes out there, and the girl who's the same Japanese girl that's
same actress,
presumably.
Yeah.
Could be her twin in real life. Who knows? But the point being, like, hey, that's the same girl that's like on the flying giant
shippy thingy,
the not helicarrier,
not helicarrier.
And then it's like, oh, it's the twins. I get it. But yeah, I think okay is about the best way I can sum up that. I mean, if you like giant monster movies, you've got some time to kill. It's fun. It was enjoyable. The music was cool.
Yeah, the score was good.
Yeah, it took a lot from the original like Godzilla theme.
Yeah.
It could have been better. It could have been more interesting. You know, like I've heard people complain there weren't enough human stuff, and I'm like, there was entirely too many human scenes.
Yeah, there was way entirely.
There was not enough fighting monsters and entirely too many humans.
Yeah. So. It's done $187 million so far worldwide. I mean, its budget was $170 million, so.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just in the first weekend of. You know, and getting ready to hit its second weekend of release. So
yeah, apparently though, it got pummeled by your beloved Aladdin remake.
Oh yeah, no, Aladdin dominated this last week. Like people were kind of bitching about that, saying, "Well, Aladdin's that movie's not going to make any money." I was like, "No, it's going to make some money." Aladdin worldwide.
I mean, honestly, I didn't think it was going to make a lot of money, but
worldwide, it did $462 million.
Good God!
Yeah, on a production budget of $183 million.
Well, there you go.
So again, Disney just keeps raking in the money. And again, the foreign releases are worth more than, I mean, they're not making
it. Well, you got to remember that they get a lower return on the actual, like those totals are a little deceptive because they get less return from the foreign markets than they do.
But still, the $198 million domestic, it's still a crap ton of money.
Really. Yeah. No, it's not a flop by any imagination.
No, the movie's on its way to being in the green. And being along with Disney's, like, crazy...
You think they could just cut down on the... Like, I think they could cut ticket prices at the parks, maybe. You're going to have, like, $50 billion movies in 1 year.
From January 1st to June 2nd of this year, Buena Vista has had 35.4% of the market share in box office. My God. The money they've made this year is nuts.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you make stuff people want to see.
Yeah. The only movie that really kind of bombed for them so far has been, well,
Dumbo was pretty bad.
Nutcracker. Even Dumbo kind of made money, though. I mean, Dumbo was $170 million, and it made $350 million at the box office, so. Mm-hmm. Worldwide, so.
Yeah, but that's that. You know, you also. There's like all these hidden costs, so you always have to like double the production cost.
You know, Mary Poppins made money. Well, Disney's done pretty good this year so far.
Well, I don't think anyone was challenging you.
No.
In the radioactive glow that is Endgame.
Nutcracker in the Four Realms was really like one of their only big bombs this year.
Wasn't it last year?
It was Christmas. Yeah, it was Christmas, but still. It kind of falls into this year because of the way they do their their slice of the pie, or however. Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I thought Godzilla was fun. Again, it was just kind of a time waster. It was kind of a big monster movie. It's like, eh, it's all right.
I think we should. There's a part of the story that we're leaving out, which is that we were accompanied by your young nephew.
Yep, my nephew came along.
Who ranked it as one of the top five movies of all time,
next to all Adam Sandler movies.
Yes.
Mind you,
he's young.
He's 13 years old.
He's young.
Well, we on the way home, he was like, "Oh, that robot movie looked really good." And I was like, "Are you talking about the Terminator?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Looked really good." And I'm like, "Have you not seen any of the Terminator movies?" He's like, "No, I didn't even know what it was." And I'm like, "Oh my god, oh my head."
Young people.
Oh.
They exist to make us feel old.
Well, Dave Grove, who I work with, he's 51, and he's never seen Goonies. He's never seen Terminator. What else has he? He's like, just there was a litany of stuff that I would name off, and he's like, "I haven't seen that." I was just like, "Oh my god, where have you been for the last 35, 40 years of your life, man?"
Dude, when I was in grad school, which was like 94,
yeah,
I took a class that kind of like touched on film and touched on media, and I remember talking about the Batman movie, you know, the 89 Batman movie, and
right,
no one in the class, it's like the class like maybe 18. 20 people.
Right.
Nobody had seen it. And then, like, a couple minutes later, I mentioned Star Wars. Star Wars!
Yeah.
Nobody had seen Star Wars. I'm like, who are all you people, and how did you get in the same class with me?
It's insanity. I mean, I spent most of my youth watching movies, you know? So, I mean,
yeah,
I guess there's that, but...
Well, I think most of our generation, I think, grew up... At least on TV or HBO or Showtime, you would catch things.
Yeah,
like how do you not have seen Terminator?
I know, my God.
Your nephew. Sure, he's a kid.
Yes,
and Terminator. Like I'm pretty sure we saw Terminator probably a few years before we were supposed to.
Yes,
because my one thing about my mom that she was kind of like after I got to be a certain age, at least she was a little liberal about like renting movies.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Or like Spaceballs. He's never seen Spaceballs. I'm like, "You never seen Spaceballs?" He's
"No." Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is a great movie.
Sure.
Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the show for this week. David and I will be back next week with an all-new show, so make sure you tune in then. And until next time.
iTunes, Stitcher,
yeah, man, all things. Well, iTunes for a little while longer because Apple's destroying iTunes. It's going away. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But you can find us on usual spots. But David...
You don't have to go home, but don't jump out the window.
The toy bar is moving, peeps. Peace out.
Ah.
No, not really.